Hey, this is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. Across from me sits John. And to my right is the chook wearing Travis. And
cold outside, man.
It's cold outside. So today we're going to talk. Last week we talked a little bit about Proverbs. We're going to talk about it again today. And I was just reading through the Proverbs and kind of looking at what does wisdom produce? And if you track through the book of Proverbs, it gives you some of the benefits of wisdom. And one is knowledge, discretion, good judgment, preservation, protection, success, better health, longer life, honor, financial blessings, favor from those in authority, accommodations and promotions, financial independence, confidence, achievement, strength of character, courage, great relationships, the love of and the admiration of others, a meaningful life, and understanding and overall true wisdom. Not a bad little...
pretty good list.
Some good stuff out of that.
Pretty good list, right? And so it's something that we all pursue at some level. We're always looking for which path that we're going to go on. You know, one of the great selling book genres in America are the self-help book. And so really, what are you doing in those things? Whether it is being how to live simply or whatever, you're really looking for wisdom. And so the book of Proverbs is written by a guy by the name of Solomon, 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And he is really just one of the most brilliant men, or maybe not one of the most brilliant men, the most brilliant man ever to live, and one of the wisest. He's also one of the wealthiest. He's a trillionaire. So that's a number with 12 zeros after it. And so this guy is smart, and he is not, schmucks like us in the sense of, doing self-help type things. This is the wisest and wealthiest man ever to live, and we have some of his recorded words. Wisdom is not what you know, it's always what you show. And the verse that we're going to be looking at today is Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight.
I was laughing because I thought you were going to say it's not what you know, it's who you know. But that's kind of true. If you look at it from a biblical perspective, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's not what we know, it's who we know. It's our God. And just following the ways that he's outlined and how to do life is going to be the best life for us. It's that life to the full that Jesus promised. And that's, if I had to boil it all down to one thing, that's probably the most wise thing that any of us could do in this world.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that's cool to me about the book of Proverbs is it's kind of like an ancient book of life hacks. You know, in some way you can look at it and go, here's how to live a full life. And it's really starts and is rooted in trust. And, you know, we all trust in something in this life. And the wisdom that Solomon is sharing here is clearly put your trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in, you know, the wisdom of other people. Trust in the Lord.
Yeah. And he talks about this path. And that's a consistent word throughout the book of Proverbs is this path. And really, where does this path go? And the reality is we're all on a path. Mm-hmm. Whether you're following God's path or you're following your own path or you're following someone else's path, you're on a path to going somewhere. And your destiny is determined by the path that in which you follow. And right at the beginning of chapter 3, he says something that I think is so interesting. He says, my son, do not forget, my son or daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. And I remember reading that passage as a kid and thinking, okay, gotta remember the Bible teachings. that'll just keep me on the right path. But I started to think about the idea of why do we have to remember? And oftentimes it's because we all make wrong turns at times. Mm. And the path, this is the beauty of God, is we can make a wrong turn and then we remember, oh, there's something else that God wanted for me. And we can always turn around. And the Bible describes that as repentance. And the light of the path is always there. Mm. And so when we're lost, I think part of the reason he says that is when you're lost or when you take the wrong path, you can always turn around and you can always get back. And that's the beauty of how much God loves us and how much God cares about us is that he always provides a way back.
King David's one of my favorite examples of this in scripture because, you know, there's a lot about King David that we could look at the story. And if you don't know, I mean, there's, you know, him stealing another man's wife. There's all kinds of stuff that like terrible things that this man did. But one of the things that makes him great as you read his story is that he was throughout his life, someone who was willing to turn back to God, even in the midst of screwing up really bad. You know, he was a man who was willing to humble himself in the midst of that and turn back to God. Not that he was perfect, not that he did everything right. But that he was willing to admit when he was wrong, willing to turn to God in the midst of really big mistakes.
And that's what makes God so awesome is that, you know, you take a wrong turning in your life. And I've talked to lots of people who don't have a faith in our God and they feel like that's their identifier now in life. You know, I made this mistake when I was 20 and it was stupid and I did whatever and it ruined their life or set their life on this path that they didn't really want to go down. And they feel like, you know, you've worn the rut into that path so far down now that there's no turning out of it. There's no redemption out of it. But that's not what this kind of wisdom that we're talking about. And I love, it makes me think of the passage that I love that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You make a wrong turn in life on your own. You don't know where to go or how to turn around or get out of it. But God does, and he can make a way for you.
Yeah, his direction or his commands always make that way. I remember I was hunting down in the Manistee National Forest, and we went in early to scout out, and we put, you know, the little flags around the tree so you could see where the trail was. And it was this big, huge swamp, and so you had to go in on the trail on the right way. And then we put markers, like, you know, you hit them with a flashlight, and they light up.
Thumbtack ones?
Yeah. And so we could get back there and we were going to go and we didn't have a camp or anything. We just drove up and went there before it was light out and went hunting. So it's November 15th. We go out there. I'm following this guy in who says he knows where he's going. And I kind of sense that we're not in the right place. And I said, well, where are the tacks? And he goes, oh, no, we're just a little bit off. We'll be fine. And I keep following him. Well, what happened is I fell into the swamp.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I'm soaking wet. And so there's three of us there. One of the guys, I don't know where he's at. The Manistee National Forest is huge. He has the keys to the truck, so I can't go and dry my pants off. And this guy's laughing. He takes off in one direction. I happen to have a sleeping bag in my pack. So that was one good thing. But what we did in that moment, I was like, this is not the right way. And he goes, yeah, I know. I don't think it is either. But I took my flashlight and I began to scan the woods and I turned around and scanned the woods and it picked up those little markers so we could walk back to the actual trail. That's why we have to remember God's commands is because we can walk back to the trail.
Because you might end up soaking wet in a sleeping bag. Well,
you want me to finish that story?
Yeah.
So I'm soaking wet. I'm freezing. It's like 28 degrees out and we're hunting all day. We're not coming back to the end of the day. And so I have no way to get warm. I didn't bring any matches. And so I'm like, okay, well, I put the sleeping bag on and I'm still freezing because I'm all wet. So I decide it's time to go without any clothes on and hunt the deer. So I get in the sleeping bag and I hunt the deer with no clothes on until my buddy comes back at night. And I said, hey, you got to give me a second. I got to get dressed. And I pop out with not any clothes on. So that's a good picture for our listeners.
You didn't see any deer either, did you?
No.
Nah, bummer.
I love that image. I mean, that's a great story to illustrate this truth, you know, of having God's word as a marker for us when we're lost, when we're off the path. It illustrates really well why we need to know what God's word says. And, we need to be, I think another part of that is being intentional about looking for those reminders too.
And that just brings my mind back to verse 5 where we started. Like, if you're not trusting the Lord with your heart, you don't even know you're off the path. You know, we don't even, like I used that illustration before of people that you don't know what you don't know. And I mean, I think maybe all of us can say that we've been there. I know that I have. When I was in a young buck back in college and I made some really stupid decisions in life, and like, I tried to do it my own way. I tried to go my own way, and I didn't know what I didn't know until I started using this book of wisdom to light the path. And I was like, oh, there's some things in here that I need to change. That's probably why going that way wasn't so helpful for me.
You were on a path, though.
I was on a
path. We're on a path. We're always on a path. And that's the crazy part about all of this, is everyone is on a path. Whatever decision you're making right now is creating or forging or going through, or you're going on a path somewhere. And the question always is what path are you on? So if it's in your marriage, one path leads to intimacy, friendship, lifetime blessing. The other leads to mistrust, frustration, separation. But the question is, what path are you on? What decisions are you making? Are you making decisions in your marriage or with your kids or whatever that is, with your career, that are connected to the wisdom that God has for you? Because God's wisdom is never a cosmic buzzkill. It's always for our benefit. It's always for our good. He does it for our good, or tells us for our good, these things.
And it's often a daily decision, you know? Like, I was just doing a premarital counseling with a couple the other day, and, you know, they were asking, like, what do we need to know right now to avoid being that couple 10, 15, 20 years down the road that are getting a divorce because they don't know how to talk to each other? And I, you know, they kind of wanted me to say, well, you just have to decide now. But I'm like, no, every one of those couples decided at the beginning that they were not going to end up that way. You got to wake up every day, and, you know, maybe sometimes it's multiple times in the days when they're hard to decide, this is what we're going to be about. And I think it works really similar with our relationship with God. We have to, you know, start every day with that commitment. It's not, oh, I made this decision when I was, you know, 20, and now I'm living it out without remaking that decision all the time. It's kind of what I'm getting at.
Well, the path also brings peace, right? And later down in that chapter, he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. And basically, there's no shortcuts. Knuckleheads. Yeah. Just follow what I'm telling you. And then he says, fear the Lord, which is really just means respect. Respect that the God has a plan, that you can trust what he's saying, and he can see, and he knows more than you. And so don't trust your feelings, or don't trust your understandings or your vision, but trust his vision is basically what he's saying. And then he says, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And what I found was interesting is, if you look up the two leading causes of health problems in the United States, one is bad eating. I'm there. Sometimes I eat poorly. It's so good, right? Nice little fried chicken wing. And the second one is stress. And so when we follow God's ways, it diminishes stress, and it says it will bring health to your body. This is a guy 1,000 years before Jesus going, hey, I already knew this. There's no, like, I'm telling you this. This is just true. Like, you can provide as you walk with God in this way.
And I like that concept of you follow and it alleviates stress, because that, I mean, if you talk to anybody in our circles of people, like, everybody's stressed. Everybody's feeling overwhelmed, filled with anxiety. But when you look at how wise you're supposed to live in the way that God outlined it, you're not living for yourself. You're not making your own path. You're living for the glory of God. You're living by his standards and the precepts that his word sets for you. And, like, there's a lot of things that it's not like the magic wand is waved and everything's perfect, but you have a direction to go. You have the steps that you need to take and how to get there. And you've got something called the Holy Spirit that'll help you along the way in this whole sanctification process of it all. But we so easily focus on, I got to do it. I need to figure it out.
I think the question is we're always pursuing peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For us, and so what are you pursuing that you think will bring you peace? Is it a new car? Is it a bigger house? Is it a Scooby-Doo lunchbox? I don't know what it is for you. But what do you think? If you just had that, that would provide you with peace. Because that's usually a good indication that that is actually what you're worshiping. Yeah. And because it's only God. He says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on these other things to provide something only he can provide. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a passage in like Jeremiah that talks about this, the cisterns, where God says, you know, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken the cisterns that cannot hold water. And I think about that often is like, you know, you're kind of, we're all kind of like fish. This is how I illustrate that passage. we're like fish, you know, we have gills and we need to be in the living water. We need to be in there. And we trust these things to be our fishbowl that have holes in them. Yeah, you may be able to fill up a broken cistern for a little while, like a new car. Cool. Right. Mm-hmm. And it'll provide you some enjoyment for a moment, or a new house. Great. Yeah. Or a promotion or whatever. Yay. Right. Those are all things. And I don't think those things are wrong. I don't think God thinks that is, he's like, no, you shouldn't have a nice house or you shouldn't have a new car. As long as you trust me, as long as you're trusting me and not those things to provide, only the thing that I can provide. And Jesus says it, you know, I'm the living water. If you come to me, you're not going to thirst anymore. And so if you exchange those things, it will not provide you peace. It'll provide a momentary lapse or numbness to what your soul is longing for. And it's the oxygen of God.
I like that analogy of the water. That's a good one. That makes me think of the passage, and you guys might have to help me remember. I think it's 1 Corinthians where it talks about like the foolishness of God is still far wiser than any wisdom that mankind could have, right? I think that's in 1 Corinthians somewhere. But like it's just so true. Like if we're separated from that, that's just a stupid move off the start. And so there goes, you know, one side of the wisdom that we would be able to gain from that. And it's like, it's not just all for us, but there's more to it than that. When you get that life to the full, when you live in that, taking in that holy water of the stream of the Lord as we're swimming. I'm a salmon. That's what my fish is, by the way. A nice steelhead. That's what I'd be. But like you're taking it in and you're taking that living water in, and it's giving out life to other people around you too. I mean, I'm thinking of my wife, my kids, like you were talking about your marriage and stuff, like without being wise in those things, and we're going to just live for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, it's always trusting God, right? Yeah. And in that passage in chapter 3 in Proverbs, he says, the first thing is honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. And there's a couple of ways you could think about this, and two of them are wrong. One of them is, you know, there's some passages in scripture, it's called poverty theology. Well, God wants us all to be poor. No, he doesn't. He loved Abraham. That dude was rich. You know, Solomon, rich.
Mm-hmm. Job, rich.
Yeah, who's the guy who, Joseph of Arimathea?
Yeah.
He like, you know, leases Jesus his tomb for 3 days because he knew he wasn't going to be there very long, right? And so he gives, but he was a rich dude. Yeah. Like there's all these rich dudes that God says, these are righteous people, right? And so I don't think it has anything to do with that. So poverty theology, bad. Prosperity gospel, if you you have the preachers on.
You just need more faith.
Name it, claim it.
Well, yeah. If you give the Lord $100 today, he'll give you $1,000. That's called prosperity gospel. Yeah. And the worship isn't, you're trying to manipulate God. The worship isn't God. The worship in that moment is, I give you 100, you give me 1,000. That seems like a great deal. But in this, he says, hey, I want you to honor me with your finances right off the bat. And the reason you do that is because we own nothing. Mm-hmm. And we own nothing, but we are the proper term, what is the proper term for like when you're a caretaker of? And so,
yeah,
steward. We're steward. There is, it's stewardship theology where in the first thing, you know, in the scripture, Jesus talks about money more than he talks about heaven and hell.
Put together,
right. And so the thing that can corrupt our heart quicker and we can trust or try to trust is possessions and money. It's talked about more than the devil. And so I think what he's trying to get here is this is one of the ways that we just say, God, I trust you. And the reason we don't trust God is because we don't think he is a good provider. We don't think he's going to give us more. We think there's a scarcity of our Heavenly Father. And I think that is part of the tension that we live in this. And he's going, no, just honor him and watch what he can do. Watch what he can do and just trust him. Place your trust and hope in him.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, you go to a verse like, you know, in Philippians 4:6, it talks about this peace that surpasses all understanding. And that comes from turning over our cares and our worries to God. And it's, I mean, it makes me think about what's our foundation. What, you know, like, there's so many things that we can't control in this world that if we put our trust in them could have a really negative effect on our lives in terms of peace or chaos. And, you know, when I read something like that, those words in Philippians, it's when we turn those things over to God, then we get this peace that surpasses even our circumstances.
I was thinking about this one. Our very breath is borrowed from God. Mm-hmm. And someday he's going to come and take it.
Hmm.
And guess what it says after that? And you will give an account for how you used all of your stuff, your very breath that you have, your relationship with your wife, that our wives are not ours. They're his. They're on loan. They're loner wives. I don't suggest using that. You're just a loner wife.
Don't worry.
But all of the stuff that God says to us, and this is the thing I think we always get tripped up on, is for our benefit because he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
It's for our benefit. It's for our good. And so, you know, this is good news you can use. You can trust God, and his ways are the right way. And everyone's on a path, and you get to choose. He doesn't whack you upside the head and make you go on his path, but he wants you to live in the fruit of the life that he has designed for all of us. This is good news you can use. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this week. If you have any questions or you've got some topic ideas that you'd like us to cover, you can email me, travis@evangelup.org. You can always find our previous Pearls and Swine episodes at evangelup.org as well, or you can search Evangel Houghton when you're looking for a podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us, guys. We'll catch you later.